Let me ask you this question. Rabbit food, four-leaf clover, Virgin Mary statue on the car dashboard, American Indian dream catcher. You know that circle thing? I never knew what that was. Yeah. And then this is a good one. St. Joseph's statue upside down in front of the house to sell it fast. Rosary and crucifix. All of that one common thing. What is it? Good luck charm. What is that? Huh? What is that? Yeah. Okay. They're all associated with the lucky charms. The purpose of these items is to bring good luck, good health, fortune, or whatever good things to our lives. Let's define luck. Can somebody tell me definition of luck? Okay, after the service, we're going to stone him to death. Luck is something just happened. Something good thing happened. In other words, they're believing on what you call it. Okay, math professor, what you call that thing? That something just happened. Do you have a special word for that? I got it. Probability is very rare, right? That's supposed to be. The actual definition of charms is coming from casting a spell to one. Casting a spell to one. In other words, these items are supposed to cast a spell onto a messy situation we are in so that they could turn the situation into something better for us. For example, remember that dream catcher? The circle thingy that I did not know anything about until I was doing research. I read the article about the dream catcher. It's supposed to catch all the bad dreams so you can have a good day in the next day. I thought somebody who has way too much marijuana would come up with that thing. It means that if we rely on these lucky charms, we are considering this as an idol, which is in reality is a demonic worship. Oh, I'm sorry, too fast. It's a demonic worship. This evening, we are going to find out the Israeli face a formidable force, the Philistines, at the battle line. And they want to defeat the Philistines so that they are going to rely on the lucky charm over their God. I believe that this is a very important study for us to comprehend. Let's stop and pray. Father, we used to dabble into this kind of stupidity. We are no different than the rest of human beings because we were in darkness, hoping that something would just happen, good thing would happen to us. Father, but we have seen the light. We are in the light. You are the light of the world, and you want us to reflect your light to the rest of this dark world. Enlighten us with your wisdom and the truth, that we may never walk in the path of darkness, but always walk with you and seek your truth. Engrave your truth in our heart, that we may never forget. Speak to us, that we may hear from you. Anoint our heart, anoint the one who speak. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 4 in 1 Samuel, please. Chapter 4 of 1 Samuel, verse 1. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistine and encamped beside Ebenezer. And the Philistine encamped Aphek. Then the Philistines put themselves in the battle array against Israel. And when they joined the battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies. Let's go back to the last portion of the verse 3. When it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies. All right. Give me your interpretation, please. Not the summary, not observation, interpretation. You all did that, right? Good. That's a kind of summary, but give me a little more interpretation. That's a good interpretation, but I'm looking for a little more. Good. Mike brought the lucky charm, and you brought it not relying on the power. Okay. That's good, isn't it? Anyone else? Anyone that want to add more? Very good one. Okay. Nope. Another thing that I read it twice, the last portion. When it comes to among us, it may. Not the Lord may. Did you get that? Their pronoun is not he, it was it. They're relying on the ark. Which version is it? NIV? Sometimes the NIV has a lot to be desired. Little he, okay. All right. Second question. What is the difference between Philistine and Palestine? Don't look down. I don't want you to look down. Just talk to me. Yes, Jerry. Okay. Not quite. In a way, yeah. In a way, yes. In a way, no. Not quite. Okay. Don't read the note that I gave you. It's like, yeah. I thought that some of you guys knew. Philistine, there's a difference. It's about 1,500 years difference. Philistine is a Greek people. They were stoned in the flesh to the Israelis, but they were defeated and expelled from the Israel eventually. King David and King Solomon made a heavily, heavily damage against them, and they finally left. In AD 135, the Roman renamed Israel as a Palestia. In 1964, the Arab hijacked the name Palestine and Palestinians as an instigation of the KGB of the Soviet Russia. You know what the KGB is, right? Intelligence Agency of the Soviet Russia, former, not anymore. But still, KGB is still alive very well. In other words, those who claim PLO, Palestine Liberal Liberty Organization, they are not true owner of their land. I said Arab. To be exact, they are Jordanians. Nomad of the Jordanian came to the west and took over the bottom portion, the Gaza Strip and all that area, West Bank, all of that they took over during the time when Israel was not there. In 1964, Russia loved to meddle with other people's business, got into it, and they gave him the name Palestia. Yeah. Yeah. His original background is Jordanian. They were up on Northern Kingdom, not the bottom, not the south side. In verse 3, Israel was asking, why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistine. And with that question in mind, please answer me this. Why do bad things happen to good people? And why are there so many evil things in this world? Does this mean that God cannot handle the affair happening on earth? Good answer. When God created heaven and earth, and God created the man, including man, was there any illness? Very good, Mike. Perfect creation. No illness, no nothing. No thorns, no thistles. Huh? No mosquitoes. No weeds. Imagine that. No weeds. God. Yeah. Serpent, that talking serpent. Anyway, until man fell into sin, nothing was wrong. And we are the one, don't think that it was Adam's fault. If you were there, you would have done exact same thing what the Adams have done. We are the one who initiate bad things to ourselves. So, if something bad happened to us, it's something we deserve. Am I correct? So the question itself is wrong. But now then there is a twist. Why the bad things happen to the good people? In our minds, idea of good is different than what idea of good in God. Am I correct? If we can compare, the difference between our good and God's good cannot be compared. Because to Him, perfect is good. Perfection. I'm sure you guys use the phrase, it's good enough, right? Good enough for government work, good enough for this, good enough for me. Even though there is an imperfection, we say it's good enough. I thought about what's the best way to describe our sinful nature. When the baby is born, we think that it's an innocent child. But why is it wrong? Why that baby is a sinner? And three. I have a one. Yeah. Anyway, we are kind of a team. Came out of the same father, Adam. And that sinful nature is engraved in the spiritual DNA. As a team, we inherit the whole things. You don't have to do bad things to be a sinner. You were born with the sinful nature, period. We don't have to teach our children to lie. They just know how to lie. The question of the Jew is wrong to ask that. Wrong to ask. They should have examined themselves why the Lord allowed them to be defeated. How often do we blame God for the bad things that happen to us, even though we are the one who caused all that havoc? Israel lost 4,000 men in the first battle. That should have been a good clue that maybe they did something wrong, and God is not with them. But they didn't stop there. Did they repent and turn to God in prayer and confession? No, they didn't. Instead, they resorted to the superstition and took the Ark of the Covenant to the battlefield. In other words, they were acting in chance, acting by chance instead of by faith. Because in their mind, they heard the story. The Ark of the Covenant went ahead of the troop with the priest in the front of the troops, and they circled around Jericho how many times? Once a day for 6 days. And the seventh day, they circled around seven times and just shout, and the wall collapsed. So, when the ark comes, we will do the same thing. I don't know if that's what they said. This ark will bring good luck. Only problem is, instead of revering the ark as a symbol of God's presence, they turn it into nothing more than religious lucky charm. The Ark of the Covenant represents Jehovah God, the central figure in all Israel's history. The Ark was the most important piece of furniture in the tabernacle and resided in the Holy of Holies. In the Ark, what's inside? Two tablets of the law and the golden bowl that contains manna and Aaron's rod. And some of you are thinking, wouldn't that manna be spoiled? If God is in it, do you think that He cannot keep that thing fresh? Yeah. He can keep anything fresh if He want to. And on it is the golden mercy seat where the God's glorious presence dwelt. In other words, it is His earthly throne of God from which He spoke to His people according to Exodus 25. Can I change the slide? These Israelis were not concerning that it was the Lord who saved their ancestor from the hand of the Egyptian and Jericho, people of Jericho. Instead of considering Ark of a Covenant as the point of contact of their faith in God, they'd rather rely on a golden box that is nothing more than a box without God. Am I making sense? Yes. Lucky Charms is an idol. As I said, when you start to rely on that thing, it becomes a demonic worship. So if we have, many of you, my wife has a cross necklace. I don't have any jewelry other than this one. It's not even jewelry, it's a ceramic ring. If you have a cross necklace and crucifix in your home, nothing wrong with that, as long as you have Jesus in your heart. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, somehow you think that that cross in your house or wherever will protect you and save you, you are wrong. That's nothing more than idols. As I drive around, especially the south side of Tucson, sometimes, and the Nogales Highway, sometimes I see the corner of the house, there's a little dome. You know what I'm talking about, right? Shrine. A lot of times, Guatemala or the Virgin Mary. Is there an idol? You betcha. Chuck Smith Jr., the late founder and the pastor Chuck Smith, he has a son, is a very, very wrong. He is into apostasy. In his church, a friend of mine went there, and he came to me, and he told me this. It says a phrase, there's a phrase on the wall, pray to the icons. This is the son of the pastor Chuck Smith. What kind of stupidity is that? Pray to the icons that does not have any power or capability. Speaking of icons, Elvis Presley, you guys know that he's still alive, right? According to National Enquirer. Yeah. Elvis Presley wore a cross, Star of David, and a Chinese letter that has that says Qi, peace. Somebody asked him, why do you have all those three symbols on your neck? And he said this, I don't want to miss out on heaven due to a technicality. Just covering all the bases. The issue should not be how many crucifix we have around us. The real issue is how much meaning of Jesus, of death on the cross, goes through our mind. Agreed? Okay, you're thinking, ooh, he's not asking questions. Don't hold your breath. Verse 4. So the people went sent to Shiloh, and that he might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord Host, who dwells between the cherubim, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there in the Ark of the Covenant, with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. Now when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what does sound of the disgrace shout in the camp of the Hebrews means? Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. So the Philistines were afraid, for they said that God has come into the camp. And they said, woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before. Woe to us, who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? And there are gods, these are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong, conduct yourself like a man, you Philistines, that you do not become a servant of the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Conduct yourselves like a man and fight. So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated. Every man fled to his tent. There was a very great slaughter, defeated. Every man fled to his tent. There was there fell of the Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. Also the Ark of God was captured. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, dead. All right. Interpretation time. Okay? Prophecy fulfilled. Lorenzo? Lucky charm didn't work. Okay? Slight observation, but all right. By the way, I want you guys to pray for this young man. He has a heart for God. Okay? As of now, he's in your prayer, daily prayer list. Okay? No pressure, Alonso. Yeah. I'm very subtle. All right, who else has the interpretation? Lucky charm didn't work. And what did the prophecy was fulfilled? Good. Anyone, anything else? Mm-hmm. Correct. High priest. Eli is the only one who can go in once a year. Eli.
Brothers, God is holy.
I'm impressed. A lot of people don't catch that portion. They went into the Holy of Holies, disregarding what God told them not to do. Only one person can go in once a year. Even that person, if he does not have a right heart at that moment, he would be dead. So Eli had to ask God to forgive him a lot before he go in. Yes, sir. Okay. Another question. How could Philistine win over Israelis who had the Ark of Covenant? God was not with the Ark. Wonder why. And they can even look inside, right? Yeah. Philistines are. Roger's observation is good. Let me pull it a little bit closer. Because the presence of God was not in, God wanted them to be defeated. God allowed them to do it. It was not the strength of Philistine. It was not the strength of Israelis. God orchestrated the whole thing, Israel to defeat it in practically a massacre. 30,000 people get killed in one battle. Yeah. So if this is our situations, media will go crazy. They'll go crazy for anything and everything anyway. Philistines are afraid at the first, but they realize that they don't want to be the slave like they had the Israeli as a slave. As I mentioned, it's a matter of presence of God. Since the Israelis discarded God's presence in their lives, God simply honored their wish and he removed his presence from them. And they were bare naked. We humans get a false sense of security from religion. Let me say it one more time. We get the false sense of security from religion. Write it down somewhere. We get false sense of security from religion. This could have been the ultimate praise gathering program. I said the program, not intimate relationship. There's no God's presence. All the hoopla and cheers went on. People were jumping up and down in excitement. But then what? Did they hear God or did they obey God? No. Listen, true worship of our God does not show itself when we sing songs to Him. Rather, while we live for Him in obedience in every day, good or bad. So we sing worship songs with the worship team. By the way, our worship team is a very, very good one quality-wise. But our worship does not stop there. Our worship continues while we're talking with the other people, whether that person is a believer or unbeliever. Yes? Yes? Yeah. Like you as an example, because you're a child of God, your family member get blessed. Verse 8, when we read that, I kind of emphasize these mighty gods. Why is that? The Philistines said that these mighty gods. Let's go back to the... No, before you say that, go to the verse 8, please. Chapter 4, verse 8. These are the God... Yeah, these mighty God, woe to us who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods. These are the gods who struck the Egyptian with all the plagues in the wilderness. Okay, this is a Philistine speaking. Are you following me, Mikey? Why do they say these mighty gods? Yeah, Egyptian gods.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The frog.
Okay.
Okay. So each one is praised.
God is using them against it to destroy their idea of gods.
Right.
Okay. But you missed the point of what I said. It's okay. It's okay, bro. The research you did is good. Very good. You missed the point too. Remember who is speaking here. Philistines. Philistines believe in polytheistic. More than one God. So they cannot think anything else other than Israeli has many gods as well. It's as simple as that. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's wrong too. Good point. Excellent catch. They were wrong. All right. God, the enemy of God, Satan, is not afraid of people's religion. As a matter of fact, he encouraged them to get into religion, not the relationship with Jesus. He knows the more religious people are, the more ignorant they would be with the truth of God. Amen? Let me ask you another question. Can you consider yourself as not Calvary Chapel people? Can you be religious in major denominations? Assembly of God? Baptist? Yes? Can you be religious in Calvary Chapel? Exactly. If you start to believe in traditions, this is how we do it, and ignore this thing, then you become religious. Yes. We're going to visit that. Good point. Roger, you were going to say something? Just scratching your head. Okay. Okay. God did not bless Israel's superstition belief in the power of the ark instead of the power of God. We often make the same mistake the Israeli made. We assume that whatever we do as a Christian is God anointed, God initiated. It is not so. Our own effort without God's anointing always wind up in more trouble and mockeries from our enemies and unbelievers. Would you agree? Just you say something, because don't ever think that just because you said something, it is from God. I say a lot of stupid things that I should be in repentance. Like hanging around with the Jim Manning. Be careful what you say. Just because you think and do and say, do not assume that it is from God. What? How about this? Well, this just opportunity opened to me. It must be from God. Really? How do you know Satan orchestrated that thing to distract you from God? But if we walk in the Spirit and do the things in the way He wants, we can count on Him every time. First John 5:14, please. First John, way in the back. Right after Second Peter. First John 5. Alonzo, would you read it aloud so you can stay awake? Just kidding. 5:14. Do you know what is the key point of these two verses? Good job, guys. Israel thought the ark would deliver them from the defeat, but they were not only defeated, but also the ark was captured. They made it into idol. God allowed them to lose their idol. Simple. It is the same in our lives. As a children of God, we seek anything, anyone else other than God. It's nothing more than an idol. Remember this, folks. God will not share His glory with anything or anyone. If we insist, He might even take it away from us. That can be money, job, your spouse, your children, even ministry. Let me ask you this. Can ministry be an idol? We are serving God in the ministry, right? How can it be idol? That's good. Another good one. not only whom we are working for, if we're doing it with the ulterior motive, like our counselor said, if we do it with ulterior motive so we can be recognized, now we're competing with God. Exactly. Yes? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kenneth Copeland has four of them. Gulf Streams. Oh, he needs that. Right. Since the first warning by the unnamed prophet, God, who has a tremendous mercy, extend the time for the Eli's sons to repent. Did they? No. Go down to verse 12, please. At this rate, we're going to stay here for a long time. Then the man of Benjamin ran from the battle line the same day and came to Shiloh with his clothes torn and dirt on his head. Now when he came, there was Eli sitting on a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. Note that, please. For his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the men came into the city and told all the city cried out. When Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, "What does the sound of this tumult mean?" And the men came and quickly and told Eli. And Eli was 98 years old. His eyes were so dimmed that he could not see. Then the man said to Eli, "I am he who came from the battle, and I fled today from the battle line." He said, What happened, my son? So messenger answered and said, "Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter among the people. Also your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God has been captured." Then it happened, when he made mention of the ark of God, that Eli fell off the seat and backward by the side of the gate. And his neck was broken and died, for the man was old and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. All right. Give me your interpretation, please. Good. Good. God's judgment came upon Eli's family. Prophecies been fulfilled twice, right? Two prophecies. Second question. Why Eli was so nervous? Hold on a second. Good observation, good interpretation. And you? Hold on. You're going to say. You forgot? Green Valley moment. Okay. We'll come back. Mikey? Okay. Good. Anything else? Yes, Alonzo? Huh? Crumbling down? For who? For Eli. Okay. Son, you need to speak a little louder. You're surrounded by a bunch of old people who cannot hear well. Say a little louder. Okay? Good? Yes, sir? Yeah. Especially when they went into the Holy of Holies, getting the ark, touching the ark, he should have killed them. Let's go back. Was he nervous? In other words, he was concerned about the safety of the ark. Am I correct? He ignored one thing, though. No. He ignored God. Not just God. The power of God. If that ark of God is really belong to God, God can take care of it without any problem. Whole world can be against that ark of covenant. God could protect it from anyone. He was not trusting power of God. He was considering the Ark of Covenant is nothing, he himself too, nothing more than just furniture in the Holy of Holies. You following me? So, I see the four things, and you guys are going to think that my English is getting worse. From bad to worse and worser, and then worst. Is it good enough, right? Bad is Israel has fled before Philistines. Worse is there has been a great slaughter among the people. This is a report from the messenger. Worser is Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were dead. Worst is the ark of God has been captured. The death of Eli and his two sons are the beginning of a fulfillment of God's prophecy that his line of priesthood will stop and he will have a new line introduced. God has promised that Eli's two sons were to die on the same day. It was been mentioned in the prophecy, right? But the Lord did not give him the idea that Eli would die on the same day as well. God tells us much in prophecy, but not in everything. The only way we would know is when it's past, the prophecy is fulfilled, and we will see the promise of God has been fulfilled. I mentioned this to you guys. Many scholars believe that the prophecy of the Israel coming back in Ezekiel, book of Ezekiel 38-39, Israel will come back to the nation, and people say, oh no, look at the name Israel, you cannot find them. Jews, get this, there are two ethnic background people are all over the world. Do you know who they are? Which nation, which race are? Chinese and Jews. You can find a Chinese restaurant anywhere in the world, around the world. And the Jews are everywhere. However, until 1948, there was no nation of Israel in the Palestine. So what did they come up with? What kind of theology did they come up with? Replacing Jews with the church. You know, replacement theology. It's a hogwash theology. All right, verse 19. Now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with a child due to be delivered. And when she heard the news that the ark of God was captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and gave birth. For her labor pains came upon her. And about the time her death, the woman who stood by her said to her, "Do not fear, for you have borne a son." But she did not answer, nor did she regard it. Verse 21, here's an important thing. Then she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel, because the ark of God has been captured, and because of her father-in-law and husband." And she said that the glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured. Okay, give me an interpretation, please. Yeah, that was a good one. Yes, it is a fulfillment. Yes, it's a fulfillment. Did you hear what he said? First prophecy against the family of Israel. Elias. He said, your children will not become in the old age. They will die young. I don't know how long this Ichabod lived, but mother died with a labor pain and depression, I guess. All right. What else? Good. That's good, but not close enough. Hold on. Sorry. Glory of God has departed. Glory of God has departed. No, that's what she meant, though. That's what she meant. All right, Alex. Ichabod. She was dying. She's the one who named the child. Yes. Yes,
yeah,
Suzanne.
Like
did you notice something that she had more spiritual insight than her husband, her brother-in-law, and the father-in-law? Yeah. That brings to the next point. Thank you, Bill. The glory of the Lord is not residing in the ark itself. We have to stop thinking God in our size, our realm. He has infinite wisdom. He measured the entire universe with the span of his hand. From here to here, universe fits in there. And how many scientists goes millions of years ago from one end to another end with a light speed. Let me back off a little bit. Immature Christians think that as soon as they walk out the church door, God cannot see what they do. So they can do whatever they want to do after the church service until they come back to church service again. Isn't that a typical mindset? They forget that God is omnipresent, omniscient, knowing all things, being everywhere, and all powerful. Sometimes we forget that as well. If we really think that God is everywhere, God can see anything behind the closed door, hidden room, we would not do anything wrong against God. Would we? Yeah. Tragically, this same could be said in the many churches. Glory of God has departed. The glory of God has departed from them, and they are still pastors, they are teachers, and they are still churches. And God is not, but God is not enthroned the glory among them. There is a form of godliness, but they are denying the power of God. There is a church on 5th Street in Tucson on Walmart. Extreme liberal church. They mentioned that all children are, all humans are God's children. Think carefully. All humans are God's children. Is that correct? Say it again. You went back and forth with your own statement.
He is all humans.
Yes.
We're all God's children.
So they are wrong. We are, as James said, we are his creation, but not all of us are his children. The one who born in his family are. The rest of them, they choose not to. I didn't say they have been rejected by God, like some people who predestination believers think. Each people make their own decision. And I know some people will say, what about the pygmy in Africa? First of all, pygmy is not in Africa. It's there in Australia. No, New Zealand. And I know some people never heard, but the Bible clearly says the nature proclaims the presence of God. If they are truly seeking God, they will find presence of God. They may not call it Jehovah God, they may not call him Jehovah God, but they will know there is a creator. Yes. You following me? The scripture said that the glory of God has departed from Israel. Can you tell me when it came back? Don't look at the note. Which temple? Very good, Mikey. Very good. Give him a raise. When King Solomon dedicated the temple, the glory of God returned according to 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10. That his presence was so strong that even the priests could not stand. They all had to fall down flat on their face. Before the destruction of Jerusalem, prophet Ezekiel saw the glory leave the temple and the city in Ezekiel 8, 9, 10, and 11. Go check these things, okay? Don't trust what I just said. All right? Where is the glory of God now? Don't look down on the note. Just answer me with what you know. Where is the glory of God now? Mikey, what do you mean? Right there, on the chair? All his children. Very good. Anyone else? Anyone else? Individually, yes. Collectively, the church. The glory of God is on the church. Ezekiel also saw the future millennial temple and the return of the glory of God in Ezekiel 43. Glory of God did not return to this earth until the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, according to Luke chapter 2. Today, God's glory dwells in his peoples individually and his church collectively. Follow me? Can I change the slide? Not yet. Application number one. We should not put our trust on the lucky charms, but God. It doesn't matter what kind of form or the previous result to others lucky charm may bring. God is the only one we must trust and follow. This brings a side note. A lot of people say when something they want to wish them the other person well, say good luck. Please do not use that word. Okay? As a believer of Jesus Christ, if you want to say, God bless you, may the Lord's blessing be upon you, that's good. But don't say good luck. I know what you meant, but people will notice. When you say good luck, unbelievers won't have any problem. But when you say, may the Lord bless you, your new endeavor, then they will take a notice. It's a good conversational piece. And they will ask you, why do you say that? Oh, let me explain to you since you ask. Excellent point. Second application. God's judgment may not happen instantly, but it does complete job as God promised. God's judgment does not happen instantly. Remember this, folks. God's mill does not spin fast, but it grinds exceedingly fine. He does complete job. Third application. God will turn tragedy to a triumph to bring the glory to himself. 34,000 people got killed out of this. Next chapter will be kind of comical. If you think that God does not have a sense of humor, you will enjoy the next chapter. God truly has a sense of humor. He created Jim Manning. All right, let's pray.